Welcome to this week's Crittenden Press podcast. I'm Chris Evans. I have as my guest today Ronnie Heady, who is a PVA of the year, a survivor from a reality internet program down in West Tennessee earlier in the year. And he's also the Crittenden County Lions Club president. And this week's the fair, or part of the fair. It's stretched out over 3 weeks. So Ronnie's a busy guy right now. First of all, I want to tell you that this week's podcast is brought to you by Mulligan's Pizzeria and Pub. Check out Facebook for all the details of their hours. Junior golf is Sunday, August 1st. The quarterback club tournament is out there on August 4th. And public day at the pool Tuesdays and Thursdays. Ronnie Heady, fair week. I know you guys are busy. A whole lot goes into putting on a Crittenden County fair.
Absolutely, a lot goes on. We got the core group of 10 or 12 people that do 90% of it, and we, you know, solicit extra help from the community, and everybody's always good to pitch in.
And the Lions Club this week in the Crittenden Press kind of went back in time and talked about the beginning of the Lions Club back in the early 70s. And a whole lot of history to the Lions Club and the pageants and things and all the young ladies that were Miss Crittenden County. We've got all that in the press, so if you hadn't read that, grab one. But tell us, how long does it, you know, what does it take to ramp up to the fair? How long does it take for the planning? I know Jim Hatfield used to come around with that Lions Club cap on, and, you know, 2-3 weeks before the fair, and he was a nervous wreck.
Yeah.
So tell us about how you get ready for the fair.
Well, I mean, it starts the day after the fair ends. We mm-hmm. start talking about next year, what are we going to have, what can we do to improve it. You know, Jared and Shelby are great about taking care of the belt boys.
Yeah.
Great about taking care of the truck and tractor pool, and, you know, they have an organization, the USA Pullers, that you know, have been good, you know, for the last several years, and then we like to get the local pullers in there as well. Mike, you know, controls the concession stand. Natalie Parrish takes care of all the pageants. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, a total team effort. Matt Cook's outside. I know there's other people that I haven't mentioned, but
Matt Tinsley. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And last weekend was the car show. This weekend you will have the truck and tractor pull on Saturday night's the feature event. The following week will be the enduro race and the demolition derby. Those are your feature events, but a lot of other stuff with the produce and the exhibitions and all the things that do go into a county fair. Also on Thursday night of this week, Classy and Grassy kind of kicks the fair off. I know the car show was last week, and tell us about why you're spreading this out kind of almost over 3 weeks.
Well, we've started this I don't know, 3 maybe 4 years ago, doing the truck and tractor pull on Saturday because it just seems to get a bigger draw for us. Mm-hmm. We like doing it in 1 week, but without the carnival, we had to kind of, you know, make adjustments. So we've all adjusted our schedules around that so that the truck and tractor pull can have a mm-hmm. good event on Saturday. And then people seem to support it, you know, better on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. Yes, sure. Classy and Grassy starts tomorrow night, so come out Thursday night, and that's sponsored by Farmers Bank. Mm-hmm. For us, so it's going to be a good event. We're excited about it.
And so the carnival, we don't have anymore. I know there's some issues with liability and trying to get there's fewer companies out there, but it also, like you, I guess the way you described it, kind of tied you down to where you had to finish the fair in a week.
Yeah.
Now you can, hey,
yeah, we can't have a carnival over 3 weeks like that. If we have a carnival, you know, they're going to be stuck with a, you know, a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or used to be like a Tuesday through Saturday, but they never did like coming on a Tuesday because they didn't have much of a draw, you know, the first couple of days. So we kind of spread it out because of, you know, because we don't have a carnival. Mm-hmm.
And are there any types of events or attractions just for young kids like that out in the behind the arena, you know, like where the carnival used to be? What'll be there for families?
I don't know if we got anything planned this year. In the past, we've had Aravac has come and you know, set up tours where kids can go through that. We've had bouncing balloons, but with COVID, we kind of cut that out this year. Actually cut it out last year. Don't know, you know, if that's something we'll bring back in the future or not.
What about the dunking booth? That was always a fan favorite.
We've give the dunking booth to a church somewhere. That was a fan favorite. I forget. It's one church wanted it, and so we just donated it to them.
Maybe they'll bring it back.
Maybe they'll bring it back, yeah.
Yeah, I know I used to take my radar, you know, for pitching baseballs, yeah. You know, to detect the speed of balls. And that was people got a big kick out of that.
Right.
So maybe I can do that a night or two, bring it out there. let some old guys throw their arms out.
There you go.
Yeah. So it's been fun looking back at the fair. Can you believe the fair is almost 50 years old? How long have you been involved in it?
I got personally involved in 99.
Mm-hmm. You're almost 50, right?
I'm almost, yeah. Yeah.
Almost. Last week was your birthday, right?
Last week was my birthday.
50 plus 10?
50 plus 10, yeah. Was it 29 and 21 in postage and handling or something?
Yeah. So you've been involved with how long?
22 years now, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, and you've been the president. I think this is your third term as president.
Yeah.
And do you still have a fair chairman as well?
Yeah. Usually it's just like a group effort. Perry Newcomb used to be the fair chairman, but he's no longer involved. He still helps with us some, but I guess Natalie would be our fair chairman.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I know. Yeah, Natalie's kind of one of my go-to people when I need to know something about the fair. She seems to be well versed in what's going on. But as you mentioned, Shelby and Jared Belt. Gosh, how important are they to the fair?
Oh my goodness, we couldn't do it without them.
No,
the track. If you look, we posted a video.
I saw that.
Did you see that commercial? Jared had that, so I shared it. Mm-hmm. Great commercial about the truck and trackable, and they're getting that thing ready. It's looks good. We couldn't do it without them.
Those guys have that equipment because they're in the excavating and dirt moving business.
Yep.
And how many years, gosh, have they been?
Oh, my goodness.
It's been ever since I've been involved with the fair. Shelby's been out there.
Yeah, they're probably longer than the fair, probably longer than 50 years, I guess, because Shelby's.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll visit with Bonita Hatfield and Margaret Gillen in just a moment, and they're going to take us back to those early days, even pre-fair days with Margaret, and she'll tell you how she was involved with what was going on out at the fairgrounds before it was even the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
So we'll take a moment here to recognize our sponsor, Mulligan's Pizzeria and Pub, and you can check them out on Facebook where they have a great deal of information about their hours. But junior golf is Sunday, August 1st out at the golf course. And don't forget the quarterback club is August the 4th. It's a four-man tournament, benefits the Rocket football team. Public day at the pool, Tuesdays and Thursdays. So right now it's sweltering. Get out there and get a dip and cool down. Ronnie Hetty, thank you so much, and thanks for all you do for the fair. Thanks for everything Lions Club does in the community. A lot of things go unseen in the community that the Lions Club does, and we appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate you guys supporting us, and everybody come on out to the fair.
Now we're going to transition into some history of the Crittenden County Lions Club Fair and visit with Bonita Hatfield. I interviewed her a couple of weeks ago, and this is that interview that was conducted at her home in Marion.
And with me today is Bonita Hatfield. Her husband, her late husband, Jim Hatfield, was a very instrumental in getting the Crittenden County Fair started. The Lions Club was created in Marion, Kentucky in 1972, and the first fair was held in 1973. Bonita, what are some of your memories of that first fair?
Well, it was difficult because first time through, and we didn't know what we were doing, and so Jim would just, he would come home from work as an example and cut all the handles off the brooms through the house and put nails in them. And then we would go. I would go with those two babies out to the...
To pick up trash
pick
after...
Up trash.
Use it as a trash picker up or not.
Other people would go to the fair, but we would go get the trash or work.
So Jim was the first, Jim Hatfield, for whom the Lions Club building out there is named for. It's called the Hatfield Building. They named that in his honor, I believe, after he had passed away.
It was before he was still alive when that happened.
Yeah. So... He was the first president of the Lions Club. Now, the Lions Club started in 1972, was chartered in March of 1972. And his father, who was somewhat of an integral part of starting this fair, because he was the
local extension agent for agriculture, and he passed away just days before the Lions Club fair, or the Lions Club chartered, excuse me.
Right.
But he was a big part of them starting the Lions Club
to do, right.
Was ostensibly to have a fair, or did the fair come later?
Well, he would say, I can't get people to want to be involved. And he said, I've tried whatever, but evidently, I think Jim maybe was going to prove him wrong. Mm-hmm. He just felt like he could take this.
Prove his father wrong. Yeah. He can motivate the leaders of the community to have a fair.
Like our Flack, who lived next door to the Hadfields over on Beville Street. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were big 4-H people. Mm-hmm. And anybody that, you know, he could get involved to pull it off. But Jim felt with the Lions Club and renting the facility from the Riding Club, at mm-hmm. that time they just rented it, mm-hmm. and that they could get this fair up and going.
So the predecessor, tongue-tied, the predecessor in to some degree of the Crittenden County Fair was the Town and Country Riding Club, which was organized many, many years before, right. and on the property there where the fairgrounds right. is at now. And it had horse shows and some rodeos, bull riding. Right. I know the PBR, a Pro Bull Riding Association, was here at one time. And that group was still active up until, I guess, the early 90s. And then they ended up either selling or giving the fairgrounds to the Lions Club. I'm not sure. I can't remember.
But I think they sold it.
Sold it to the Lions Club. Mm-hmm. But I do remember that there were some monetary assets of Town and Country Lions Club that were left to the community, because this was back in the 90s, at some point, mid-1990s, and I was invited to come to their closeout meeting, I guess,
really?
when they ended the Town and Country.
Liquidated.
Yeah, and invited a few community organizations to be there, and I was there on behalf of the Marion Crittenden County Park Board, and they gave us a check. And,
really?
You know, they just distributed what was left of their funds. But that was a very active organization one time. And we're going to visit with one of their members a little later in the podcast, one of their early members. But so why did Jim feel like, your husband Jim, feel like that he needed to have a fair in Crittenden County? Why did Crittenden County need a fair?
Well, he felt like, his father said, you know, we need a fair. We can't, you know, the other counties have fairs. Why can't we have a fair? And so he just became involved, I guess. I always nicknamed him Mr. Civic Pride.
Mm-hmm.
Because if something was happening, he was going to be there and be involved. And he felt that the Rotary Club, who had been very active in the community, most of their members were getting older, mm-hmm. and Jim just felt like he would bring this bunch of outlaws, I guess, into the picture and start a new program and start the Crittenden County Fair, uh-huh. which became very, very popular, just very popular.
The first fair in August of 1973 was a three-night event, and they had the beauty pageant. The midway was one night. There was a horse show, and there was a tractor pull, which was the big event. All three nights together drew 5,000 people, and now I know the demolition derby will draw well over 2,000, I forget the exact numbers, but I know it's a big draw now. So the fair just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and really probably hit its apex in the late 70s, probably in the 1980s. It seems like more people were going to fairs, and the extension program was a big part of the county fairs, right?
Right.
I mean, all
right.
the way back.
Mm-hmm. And they worked very closely with the homemakers clubs, the 4-H clubs. They were, you know, had exhibits from all of those different groups. Pretty much they were the daytime entertainment. Mm-hmm. And they would, you know, work with those groups. But I think all of those parents and kids that were in that circle, pet shows, that type of thing, that was just a big deal.
And the
deal.
Livestock.
Livestock. You know,
right now, I would venture to say the interest in that has probably waned a good bit over the last few years, even since I've been going to fairs. You know, the livestock entries were many more. Now it's just kind of a niche market with people and niche interest. At, but it still kind of takes you back to those good old days, don't they? When you go to the county fair. And there's still
and
something.
And everybody in the family went.
And there's still something healthy about a community having a fair.
Yes, yes.
And that's why the Lions Club, I'm sure, has really, through some difficult times. I know there were times when having a fair was not financially a very responsible thing to do for that club. But they had one. They pulled together. And they put, how many hours would Jim put in a week's time?
Well, fair week proper itself, he was involved 18 of 24 hours. You know, I don't know how he could even work, but he did.
And he was a pharmacist.
Yes, pharmacist, mm-hmm. which means that he had to be in his store every day or every hour it's open. It's not like you can leave somebody else in charge. He had to be there, so.
Distribution of medication is not for the hired help, right?
No. They get a little more than their share at times. But anyway, and
well, I know, Bonnie, I've seen Jim there. I've seen your children. I've seen a lot of these Lions Club members, and I don't want to name one or two, but I see them out there before a week or two ahead of the fair, and a lot of times they're weeding. I know. Now they have some of the work crew from the jail that's out there, but there was a time when they didn't have that, and they really got out there with shovels and rakes and weed eaters and sling blades.
Yeah, we parked the cars, we cooked the food, we picked up the paper trash, you know, the different members, the wives of the members, we would be there on more than one night. I recall that we were there until dawn. Because the tractor pull, some type of snitch of in the equipment or whatever, so they had to postpone it for several hours, and we'd sit there and cook those corn dogs in what was concession stand at that time. And as time went on, Jim realized that he could bribe people, I hate to use that word, but he could utilize different cups and clubs and groups from the committee, from the community. They could make a fundraiser. The football boys sold lemon shake-ups every year for years and years. The girls' basketball team parked cars. And so he figured out who he could utilize and, you know, with the parking, I guess, you know, he decided on a price that he was going to give a club or group to park cars, and, you know, they would get that and maybe any tips or whatever. But he realized but then, Chris, it really became a community fair, a county fair. Mm-hmm. And, you know, any group, any vendors, they would have
I talked this morning to James Carl Johnson, Jim Johnson, down at Johnson's Furniture, and his father was on one of the founding members of the Lions Club, the board of directors, and he remembered that the community was really involved, and a lot of the businesses would go and set up their own booths. Mm-hmm.
And he said, he was just kind of a young boy at the time, and he remembers having to stay there all night because they took some of their appliances from the store out, and somebody had to stay there all night and make sure they didn't walk off overnight.
Right.
But so there was just a whole lot of interest and input and from the community, and there still is, but it just seems like the county fairs are not quite what they were at their climax.
Yeah, people don't have time, maybe. Maybe there wasn't as much entertainment. We weren't playing as many ball games or swim team membership or whatever. And so the county fair was the big deal. Jim would, if it was going to be fair week, he would go out to the northern edge of Marion, out toward the, is that the water and sewage plant out there? Mm-hmm. And he would park his car and wait to see the carnival, the rides come in. Mm-hmm. I mean, he couldn't sleep because if the rides didn't come, you know, he was in deep
trouble. Kids wouldn't come. Moms and dads wouldn't show up.
But he would, you know, like I say, I remember him, you know, coming in and saying, you know, well, they're here, and because they would start setting up on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. It's such a tragedy that is part of the fair that probably will never return, because it's my understanding that the Midway, the carnivals, those vendors who put those up, the contractors who travel around, they're just not interested in coming to small towns anymore. They're going to much larger venues where they attract a lot more people. And it's just a shame because kids always love to go to the carnival.
Right. Well, they were just, you know, it was just like one of those things. He had his contacts, and he had his contacts through the State Fair Association. And so he would get on the phone several months in advance and schedule the week that he wanted a certain fair group. And he worked very closely with a group from, up McLean County, maybe on the other, or somebody on the other side of Owensboro. He used them several years. You know, he would call them on the phone, say, you know, this Jim, can you come such and such? And they would set it up, you know, like that. It became, as far as getting help to do things, he was able to get maybe a speech team or some club like that to sell tickets. They would make money out of that to sell tickets. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everybody was trying to figure out a way to get them a nickel, and it was grand.
Did you ever walk around the carnival and play those games that were kind of on the perimeter of it?
Well, I wasn't very good.
They didn't want you to be good.
Yeah, well, I know, yeah. That's right.
Pick up the ducks in the water and win a teddy bear or something, or throw darts into balloons.
Right. But those were, they had a Dunkaroo. On one occasion we drove, you know, I can't begin to tell you the trips and the wild hairs. We went somewhere up in Illinois, and he found out that somebody up in Illinois had a Dunkaroo to sell. And so he thought we needed that because there was a club or group at the fair that wanted to have the Dunkaroo up and make money from that. So we spent one night driving somewhere, I don't know where, and back home, and just glad to be back home. But he...
I think they may even still have the dunking booth. I know, well, up until probably 10 years ago, I know. I can't remember since then, but I've sat... on that bench of time. That was always a fun event, a fun part of the fair.
Right.
But so many things in the fair. I think your puppy's getting a little.
Well, she's out.
Yeah. I think we've got your your little puppy. She's not happy that I'm occupying some of your time. What kind of dog is this, Bunny?
This is a Shih Poodle.
Shih Poodle. She's a pretty little dog.
Yeah, and she is poodle, and Shih Tzu, or I don't know what she doesn't shed.
She doesn't shed.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's why.
So back to the fair. Coming up on our, I think this would be, 48th year of the Marion Crittenden County Fair, the Lions Club Fair. A lot of time and effort has gone into this from a lot of individuals and just so much dedication to make sure we still have this fair, hasn't it? Anybody in particular that you can recall that had a great deal to do with this?
Well, I just think the Lions Club itself were all dedicated, and they all pretty much found their niche, found their place, and the same guy did the food, ordered the food, and did the refreshments every year, and the same guy did this, or, was in charge. So it got so it became manageable in that, somebody would talk to the football boys and get that done, and so it became a lot more pleasant for the Hatfield family after that, when we found out that let's encompass these teams and groups and let them have a piece of this pie and
recruit, conscript, whatever it took to get people in, draft them in, and they can make a little green out of it too.
Yeah.
And that's still, I think that practice is still part of
and the, I think, I think that's a selling point. But they were able to make money and really get a Little League football program going.
That's right. It sponsored the Little League football for many years.
Right.
Sure did.
And they had bought the uniforms and whatever and had them stored.
Yeah.
I think out at the fairgrounds, and they would pass them out. But some of those fellows, like you, I'm afraid to say who, I know Donnie Winters, and some of those guys were so dedicated to that football program, those kids.
I went back and found an old article, and the first queen of the fair, the first Miss Crittenden County, was Marilyn Penn, and some of her attendants were Linda Hunt, Lisa Beavers, Joan Hines, Mary Jo Arflack. A lot of these young ladies at the time, they still have connections here in Crittenden County.
Mm-hmm. And it was a big deal. Not only did your mother go, your grandmother, your third cousin, and your aunt.
To the pageant. If you were in the pageant,
that's right.
And
that's
your boyfriend and all their friends.
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah. And, it was just the thing to do, I remember our first beauty pageant, we had to find somebody that had a big flat trailer. And we pull it into the arena there, and then the girls would walk up on that platform.
It was outdoors.
It was outdoors, yes.
Uh-huh. And it's tough to keep your makeup on in August, wasn't it?
Right.
And your hair.
And pray that it didn't rain.
Yeah, of course, now it's indoors, and they typically have that over at Foles Hall or one of the other venues. So many fond memories of the fair, and much we could talk about. But I appreciate the opportunity to visit and talk about the beginnings of the Marion. I say Marion, it's the Crittenden County Fair, Crittenden County Lions Club Fair, and looking forward to this year's fair. After COVID last year, kind of it didn't stop the fair, but it certainly put a little damper on it, and the crowds weren't quite as large as they typically are. But really excited. Thank you, Bonita.
Okay, thank you.
My guest now is Margaret Gillen. Margaret, you were on the original Town and Country Riding Club Board of Directors that was a precursor to the Lions Club, the Fairgrounds, and the Crittenden County Fair. Tell us a little bit about the Riding Club and some of your memories.
Well, my memories was when it was raining, it was very muddy, but we had a lot of fun. There were several of us there. There was no fences. It was completely bare, much different than what it is today. Lean-to buildings, but a lot of people come out for the horse shows. We did trail rides, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work. It was a dirty job, but it was a lot of fun.
And you had a little concession stand?
Had a little concession stand, yes, sir, mm-hmm. when we had the fair of the horse shows, and that was pretty neat.
And we're talking a time before the Marion-Crittenden County Park was out there and before a lot of those homes had been built?
That is correct.
So you were out in the country. Is that why they called it Town and Country?
Probably so, yes. We was in the country. Wasn't a lot around. Much different than it is now.
And what type of events did the Town and Country Riding Club sponsor and host for the community?
Well, we had the horse shows, I guess, was the biggest thing. We had a good attendance from the people in the community and also out of the community, mm-hmm. and that was a fun thing. We had trail rides. Anyone that wanted to go was welcome to go on that. We went to McDonald Park, and we did that quite often, too. And it was just a lot of fun.
And who were some of the other folks that helped start the riding club?
Roy and Gladys Riley, Paul and Lois Sullinger, Doc and Miss Lily. There was...
You mentioned Roy and Gladys Riley.
Yes, Roy and Gladys Riley and Rob... Rob Crowder and myself, Raymond and Emmer Patmore. Mm-hmm. There may be others, but that's the ones that comes to mind at this time.
Mm-hmm. And the riding club was active into the early 1990s. I know. I remember going out there the night they closed down the organization and actually doled out some of their. Some of the money, some of their assets, their mm-hmm. cash assets, to other community organizations. And I know the park got a nice chunk. I believe the Lions Club got some of that money as well. But it's nice to have you share some of those memories. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
This podcast has been brought to you by Mulligan's Pizzeria and Pub on Blackburn Street in Marion. Open Thursday through Sunday. That's Mulligan's Pizzeria and Pub, a place where you can relax and unwind with family and friends while enjoying great food and drinks. Come see us on Blackburn Street in Marion, Kentucky.